Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, who is absent and won't vacation, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If you have a Bible question or an issue you'd like to discuss, we invite you to call right now. The number is 844-322-2742. That's 844-322-2742. We are live on the air and online right now, so you can get an immediate answer to your question or discuss the issues that are important to you in life right now. So we've opened those phone lines, and again, the toll-free number, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about piercing the darkness, how we as believers can make the gospel message relevant to people in this country, in this world today. Darkness is encircling us like never before. It certainly seems that way, doesn't it, Bob?
Absolutely.
Yeah, just the news stories. I mean, even, 2 days ago, our Senate voted 53-47 to continue to fund Planned Parenthood, even after all of the evidence coming out, those damning videos, and yet our Senate says we're still going to give them money to do what they're doing.
And it is absolutely a wonder to me how 53 sensible people can literally ignore the evidence and be so callous as to continue to fund an organization that is doing that
Absolutely. Well, it seems like today, Bob, we are worshiping at the freedom to choose. That becomes all important to us. God gave Adam and Eve a choice. And as Satan kind of entered into the picture and stood beside that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he enticed them to choose the knowledge of good and evil and forfeit their very life in God.
Right.
So in that choice, they chose death. And that's what we see happening out there in the world of in the world around us. You know, people are thinking they're making these independent choices, and they think they are making freedom, but they're actually choosing sin and death. They think they're eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and what comes back at them is sin and death.
Yes.
And that's what this gospel frees us from. Having to make choices like that so that we can really choose genuine life, genuine contentment in Jesus Christ. Here's some interesting information. This is from my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. You know, when Adam and Eve were in the garden, and before they chose to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God had pointed it out and said, "The day that you eat of that, you will surely die." And I'm sure until Satan stood beside that tree, they never really paid much attention to it. Mm-hmm. Why? Because they had life in God. They were enjoying his presence, his relationship, his love, his abundance of riches being poured out on them. And so that tree of the knowledge of good and evil really never crossed their mind until Satan stood beside it that one fateful day. And he did something as far as the minds of Adam and Eve were concerned. He made that tree look appealing to them.
Yeah.
They saw it was desirable, and they decided to eat. And in that decision, they chose death. Such a sad, sad, sad reality. And the world has been feeling the consequence of that ever since. And what Jesus does for us is he frees us from that world system. They became in bondage to the darkness. The darkness took control of their very lives, took control of mankind. God's grace sent Jesus to pierce that darkness so that we could be rescued and go from darkness to light. And that's what happens when we receive Christ. We go from darkness to light. We go from bondage to freedom.
Yeah.
That's why this gospel is so essential right here, right now.
Absolutely. And, you know, of course, our new CD, Pierce the Darkness, addresses these concerns. Bob and Richard and I lay out what we think our response to these recent events should be in light of the gospel. And that's what Bob was just explaining just a moment ago. This response, of course, is not fear-based. It's not judgmental. It's not condemning. But it is something that we can stand on, the Word of God, that's something that we can stand on and share with others as well. And we'd like to get a copy of that CD into your hands, and it's available for a gift of any amount to the ministry right now. If you simply go to basicgospel.net, click donate on any page, well, we'll get a copy on its way to you. Or you can call and speak with Billy, our operator. She'd love to hear from you right now at 844-412-2742. Again, 844-412-2742. That's not to be confused with our call-in number here for the broadcast, which is 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you right now. Open lines, plenty of them. So jump on. If you have a question you'd like to pose, give us a call, 844-322-2742. Well, Bob, a question from Teresa, who listens on our great New York area affiliate, The Mission. And it concerns the passage of Scripture, Luke 7, where it says, He who is... forgiven much, loves much, and the other side of that is basically the question that Teresa has. She says, can you please explain what Jesus meant when he said, whoever has been forgiven little, loves little? She says, my 18-year-old is concerned about this. He wonders if he loves enough since he was saved at a young age. I told him to ask you on I would ask you on his behalf to clarify for him. That's from Teresa in Wantagh, Long Island.
Well, that statement that Jesus made, and it's recorded for us in Luke chapter 7, starting in verse 40, is talking about, Jesus said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. So our capacity as love is dependent upon our capacity to receive love. Mm-hmm. If we think we just need to be forgiven just a little, then that's how we're going to respond to God, and that's how we're going to respond to others. But if we recognize the enormity of our sin and the great offense that it has caused to God, and yet in spite of that, he still chooses to love us, and we understand that love, then we're going to be able to love a lot.
Sure.
That's how it is. So it's not that we have any love in us in and of ourselves. Whatever we have is a gift from God. Mm-hmm. It's because we have received his love. So I think it's time for us to throw away any self-righteousness and realize that apart from him, we're nothing. We've got nothing. With him, we've got everything. So we have really nothing to offer. There are so many people out there, Bob, who try to negotiate with God. So they are saying to God that I have something of value, mm-hmm. that I want to give to you.
Right.
And God is saying, no, you're a sinner. You're lost. You're dead spiritually. This is a one-way transaction. You're just in a place to receive.
Yeah.
You have nothing to give. So simply sit back and receive all that I have for you in Christ Jesus. And when you receive the enormity of my love in Christ, you will be able to love others. We love because he first loved us.
Yes, indeed.
And I think all of us should pray this prayer. You know, we talk about prayer, we talk about the importance of it, we talk about the power of it, and I think if we pray this prayer, we will be touching on all of those points, the importance of it, the power of it, and it's simply this: Lord Jesus, show me the height, the depth, the length, and breadth of your love for me.
Yeah.
That's a prayer he's going to answer, and that's going to be a prayer that will transform you from the inside out.
Absolutely. Teresa, I hope you're listening. I hope that's a help to you. And, you know, Bob, I have personally invited people to call in the broadcast, and I hear constantly, oh, I can't talk on the radio, you know. But of course you can. But I understand that's an issue to some folks. So we encourage you to drop us an email if you have a question or something you'd like us to discuss. That will be a great opportunity to get your subject into the forum. You can do that by going to our website, and you can send an email to bob.basicgospel.net, and that will get it into the hopper, so to speak. And we'd love to hear from you on a later edition. And so if you have that question, drop us an email.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to the Bronx, New York, and talk with Lucy listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Lucy. Welcome to Basic
Hi.
Gospel.
Hi. Thank you. I just have a question I've been wrestling with for quite some time. I know that God knows all. He knows the future. When Lucifer went against God in heaven and he turned a third of the angels against God, and then God released Satan onto earth with those demons, and then he put Adam and Eve on earth with knowing that Satan was going to go after Adam and Eve. Didn't God know that? I mean, if Satan was able to deceive a third of the angels, knowing that they saw God and saw heaven, how much easier is it for humans, mankind, to be deceived? And then we're going to go to hell because we are being deceived. I just feel like we're in a game here, and I'm hurting because I really want to serve God. And I'm trying, but I am human. I live in the flesh. I don't think that just believing in Christ is going to get me to heaven, because Satan believes in Christ. So my question basically is, if God knows, he knew this was going to happen, why did he put Adam and Eve on earth from start?
Well, because he wanted to create the human race to share his love with. That's why it's one of those things, you know. I don't know if you're a parent, Lucy, if you're married and with children. But if you are, you know, there are many, many parents out there in the world today, and they made a choice to bring children into this world. And they made that choice knowing there was all kinds of evil that those kids were going to be exposed to from the time they entered into this world until they grew up and left the world. And yet the parents still made that choice to bring them into the world. And you ask, why would they do such a thing? Well, because as a husband and wife, they had love for one another. And that love grew to the point that they wanted to share that love with another human being. And so they brought a baby into the world, and they showered that baby with their love and their protection and their provision. Well, God, you know, that's just a little snippet of what God felt like when he created mankind. He was bringing a new creation into this world that was in his image, that could receive his love and could give love back. And that's why he created mankind. Satan, we have no earthly idea how all of this transacted in the heavenlies, but he looked at God and said, I want to be you. I don't want to just be me. I don't want to be a created being. I want to usurp your authority. I want to kick you out of your throne, and I want to take over this world. Well, God recognized that. He kicked him out of heaven, and Satan had his way here with mankind. But yet God always had a plan, and his plan was always in Jesus. That's why the scriptures say that Jesus was the Lamb of God crucified before the foundations of the world. God was not going to be stopped by a created angel. His work to love mankind and to create a people that were his own was not going to be thwarted by Satan at all. And so he sent Jesus, and in Jesus we can have that life that God always intended for us to have, and we can receive that love that God wants to shower upon us, and we can give that love back. That's what it means to be fully human, to receive the love of God in Christ Jesus and to give that back to him as we walk by faith. So that's God's simple plan, Lucy, for you and for mankind. Satan is just, he's just a little ant as far as God is concerned, just a bug on the windshield.
Yeah.
He seems like he has a lot of power, and he certainly does, but not in light of who God is. At the end, when you look at what's going to happen, Satan is gathering all these armies, and he's going to have one last attempt to overthrow God. And Jesus is going to come forward, and he's going to speak, and that's it.
Yeah.
There's no battle. Jesus just speaks. It's done.
I'd say it's the greatest anticlimax in human history.
I know. So Lucy, Satan, his only real tool is deception. He tries to make the things of this world look good to us. He tries to show us that genuine life and genuine happiness can be found in things and places and possessions and people and achievements. But there's only one place to find genuine life, one place to find genuine happiness, one place to find genuine contentment, and that's in Jesus and in Jesus alone. So, Lucy, I don't know if you've ever come to know Jesus personally, but I hope that if that's not the case, that today will be the day that you hear the voice of Jesus and you respond to him in faith and are made alive together with Christ. So have you ever come to know Christ personally?
I have. When I was younger, it was the most beautiful, fulfilling experience. I did backslid. I'm still out here. I feel God calling me. I feel his spirit. I pray at night, but
I'm just struggling. Well, here's the deal, Lucy.
Every day is a struggle.
Well, here's the deal, Lucy. Jesus said this, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." That's what Jesus is calling you to do, is to come unto him so that you can experience rest from your words and your voice and what you're saying. You're weary and burdened. It's time to take a rest in Jesus. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Lucy, when you were saved many years ago, God sent Jesus to take up residence in you. He's right there with you right now, and he is bigger than he who is in the world, and you can trust him. And as you trust him, that's when rest will fill your soul, and that's when you can just breathe this huge sigh of relief and feel the lightness of God's love on your shoulders. So
it's hard when I have family and I have friends that are living in the world. And again, the same question again is, why everything, they're souls. These are souls that, you know, Satan is here. He's tempting people. He's lying, deceiving people that don't know about God. Yet God is allowing this to happen.
Well, God is also at work. I mean, he's just not sitting back. He saved you, right? He saved me.
Yeah.
He saved Bob Davis. There's people all over the world that he is touching right now. He is making alive right now. There are people all over the world that he's bringing peace and contentment and joy to their hearts and souls. There are folks all over the world desperate for hope that are, for the first time in their life, experiencing the very hope of God in Jesus Christ. God is at work. He's not sitting back just watching Satan do his deceiving and those sort of things. God is piercing that darkness with the light of Jesus Christ. So entrust your family members to the Lord and make yourself available to God to be used to help them see the goodness of God's grace and mercy as revealed in the person of Christ Jesus. But I think for you, Lucy, recognize the bigness of God. He's been at work from the very foundation. He will continue his work. And as you keep your eyes focused on him, you're going to see incredible things take place, I guarantee you. Does that make sense to you, Lucy?
Yes.
Let me do this for you. I want to put you on hold. I'm going to send you a copy of my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. I want you to read it, and I want you to call me after you've read it. Let's talk some more. And then I want you to use this book to reach out to your friends and your family members, okay?
Thank you so much. Thank you for your time. Thank you.
Oh, thank you for calling, Lucy.
Sure, absolutely.
We're so glad that you did. And, there's rest for you, and it's in Jesus. And I just can't wait for that day where you feel that burden lifted off of your shoulders, and I know it's coming soon. Well, you hang on, okay?
And Bob, for any of our listeners who would like to get a copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, why, we encourage you to go to our book site. That is SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to John in Euless, Texas, listening to us on the Word. Hi, John.
Hey, how you doing? God bless you.
Well, God bless you as well, John. Thanks for your call today.
Yes, yes. And I want to say first and foremost to my sister Lucy in the Bronx, New York, Just keep on believing. That's it. It's just it's where your faith is in the finished work of Christ. He finished it, and he said it is done. It is finished. So just keep on believing in him. I want to ask you about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What is y'all take on the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And if y'all do believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, what is the benefits from it, or what do we get out of it?
Well, John, that's a wonderful question, and certainly there's a lot of confusion out there on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What is it? When does it happen? How do we know it's happened? There's all kinds of answers and doctrines that have been built around that very question. Our ministry name is Basic Gospel. We try to keep things very basic, very simple. And as far as the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's a twofold thing. It occurs at the moment of salvation. So when you believe, John, you were baptized by the Holy Spirit. And what does that mean? That means the Holy Spirit came to live inside of you, and then he placed you into the body of Christ. That's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is all about. We see that on the day of Pentecost when the gift of God's Spirit was given to mankind. Well, from that day forward, everyone who believed in Jesus was instantly baptized by the Spirit. The Spirit coming to live inside and placing us into the body of Christ. So as a result of that, Christ is in us. We are in Christ. We belong to God. We belong to the body of Christ. We have taken up our place within this great rescue mission that God is operating in Jesus. Does that make sense to you, John?
Yes, yes, it does. In the book of Acts, in chapter 19, the Apostle Paul, I forget who he talks to.
He's talking to folks there that only knew about the baptism of John the Baptist. They had never been fully explained the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ Jesus. Paul filled in the blanks for those folks. They didn't even know the Holy Spirit existed. Paul filled in all that information, and they received Jesus and were born again at that moment. Well, John, we're out of time. Thanks for your great question today. We appreciate it.
Yes, we do, and we appreciate hearing from each of those of you who called, and we will be back for another edition tomorrow at the same time. In the meantime, please remember Basic Gospel in your giving. We are dependent upon your prayers and your gifts to keep on the airways proclaiming the truth of God's Word. You'll find a donate page on every page, donate link on every page at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. We're out of time. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.